Hare Krishna. Question: how is the Schrodinger's cat paradox related with spirituality and consciousness? You mentioned in one of your lectures that the Schrodinger's cat paradox proves the reality of consciousness. Can you explain this? Answer: firstly, this is a complex concept. Both the concept of Schrodinger's cat and the concept of consciousness as it is applied over here. So, the answer will be quite technical. First point is that the Schrodinger's cat is a thought exercise. So, in quantum physics, whether a particular thing exists or not, that is largely dependent on the observation. So, how this is so actually is something which is not been understood by physicists, and many physicists are saying that it can't even be understood. But the point is, it is something which is right now. That so Einstein put it that I would like to believe that the moon continues to exist even if I am not looking at it. So, according to a literal interpretation of quantum physics, you know, if there is no observer, then there is no observed reality. So the moon doesn't exist if we don't look at it. This concept, how does such a bizarre idea come into advanced physics? That is illustrated through the Schrodinger's cat paradox. So suppose a cat is kept in a closed container, and then there is a fatal radioactive element whose radioactive degeneration will lead to fatal radiations which will kill the cat. But the radioactive element is such, this is a thought exercise now, that if this radioactive element is such that if the that there is 50% chance that the radioactive element may degenerate, decay in the specified time period of the experiment, and if it decays, then the cat dies. If it doesn't decay, the cat lives. Now there is no way that we can know whether the cat is alive or it is dead till we open the container, open the box in which it is kept. So now, when the experiment is conducted and then the box is opened, at that time we come to know, okay, the cat is alive or the cat is dead. So now, according to Schrodinger's equation, Schrodinger gives this cat paradox to illustrate that actually what happens, so before the cat was put in the box, it was alive. Then when the box was opened, then its state was determined, it is alive or it is dead. So then what happened in the state in between? And during that time, its state is indeterminate. And so now, because that indeterminate state always stays indeterminate, quantum physicists propose, at least some quantum physicists, a mainstream body of quantum physicists proposes that actually when the box is opened, at that time the cat becomes alive or it becomes dead. So rather than saying that at the time of opening of the box, that is the time when we determine whether the cat is alive or dead. So rather than saying that, what it is said is that is the time when the cat becomes alive or dead. So now we may say, no, the cat became alive or dead much earlier. The cat, if it had died, it would have died any time in between. But the point is, observation becomes tied with the observer within quantum physics. Why? Because it is only when there is an observation that the quantum physics equations, they collapse. It's a whole technical concept. But they collapse in a particular way, and then a particular result emerges. So now what does this imply? From a spiritual perspective, or from the perspective of consciousness. No, conventional physics, that is normally called as classical physics or Newtonian physics, that focused primarily on the idea that there is an objective world out there, and by repeated observation and experimentation, one could come to know the world as it exists outside there. And one doesn't. So that means if there is an objective world, then the subjectivity means the idea that, okay, I am an observer who is observing, and my observations may become biased. So subjectivity can be decreased and removed to the extent that we can bring in object. To that extent, there is a distance between the observer and the observed, to such an extent that the who is the observer will not matter. The same observation will come irrespective of who is observing. And in that way, consciousness, because for observation there has to be consciousness, so the role of consciousness gets minimized and eliminated by this particular kind of reasoning. However, the problem turned out with this kind of reasoning is that observation and observer are inextricably connected in quantum physics. You know, because various reasons, and there are related which we can understand, there are others which we can't understand unless we go into technicalities of quantum physics. At a very simple level, we could say that quantum physics often deals with phenomena which are so small in their dimensionality that the very act of observation affects them. Consider a simple example, that suppose we wanted to measure the temperature of water in a lake. Now we might put some object in the lake and try to measure the temperature. Say we put some variant of a thermometer adapted for that purpose, and then we measure the temperature. So now the thermometer itself is of a slightly different temperature. Before it was put in that, the thermometer may be at a much higher temperature, and if it's a frozen lake or near freezing lake, its temperature is much lower. So the idea of putting a thermometer in the lake is that the lake's temperature will change the thermometer's temperature. Now at the same time, the thermometer being at a higher temperature, heat energy will also flow from the thermometer to the lake, and the lake's temperature can also change. But because the lake is so big and the thermometer is so small, now a thermometer may not be exactly the same instrument, but a thermometer is a general term I'm using, that which is used to measure temperature, thermal energy. The measurer of thermal energy, thermometer. So the point is that the act of measuring can also affect the measured object. But because the effect on the measured object, the lake, the effect of the thermometer's higher temperature on the lake is so negligible, is so small as to be negligible. So what we focus on is, when you put in the thermometer, what is the change in thermometer's temperature? We don't bother that the thermometer's temperature will change the lake's temperature. So this is fair at the level of classical physics for large objects. But when we go into microscopic objects, then at that particular point, the very act of observation affects the observer. Affects not the observer, but the observed object. So, for example, if you want to know the position of an electron within an atom, then we send some electromagnetic waves towards that. So, now as soon as the electromagnetic waves collide with the electron, what happens by that is the electron's position gets determined, because the electromagnetic waves get reflected back. But the very contact of the electromagnetic energy with the electron causes the velocity of that electron to change. And that's why we may know the position, but we cannot know the velocity, because the act of knowing the position changes the velocity. So that's why there is the Heisenberg's uncertainty principle, which says that the position and the velocity both cannot be known simultaneously. Now, taking this principle, these are with respect to practical limitations the process of measuring. But if you take this to a conceptual level, then a quantum physics holds that the very act of observation affects the observed reality. So, because according to quantum physics, things don't exist as things. Now, everything is just waves. That is the fundamental difference between quantum physics and Newtonian and say relativity physics. Relativity physics proposes that there are objects, things which exist made of matter. Whereas quantum physics proposes that what exists essentially is waves. But so these waves collapse into objects the moment there is an observer. And if there is no observer, things exist simply as waves. Now, these are, in quantum physics itself a complex concept, and what I am giving is a bare bones explanation, which is a very, which is quite simple, simplified explanation. I'm not going to technicalities here, but the point is that the whole concept of the world as we observe it comes about because there is the observer, and the observer causes the waves to collapse into things. This is again, as it says, a simplified explanation. But the point is, in quantum physics, the world as we perceive it cannot exist without a perceiver. And so, consciousness becomes a fundamental reality within the worldview of quantum physics. And that's how quantum physics proves the reality of consciousness in a very theoretically sophisticated way, quite different from the way consciousness may be proven by, say, the near-death experiences or out-of-body experiences. So this is like a major change at the very foundations of physics. And that's why this change, when consciousness becomes recognized as a fundamental reality, then the whole concepts of foundational concepts of physics will be revolutionized and expanded. And that will be the revolution of consciousness. Many thinkers have said that will be as consequential as the Copernican revolution was several centuries ago. Thank you. Hare Krishna.